Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As of now, there are over 2,000 votes, so we're starting to get a pretty good handle on it. 75% of the people say they can change a flat. Now, that's coming off the poll that I read earlier that was 78%. I don't know. I'm not sure. But that's off of Al's Twitter.
To your point, it's not that hard. It's not that, like I said, I think if I had to, I could do it. This was not the spot that I was going to try to figure that out. But
understood. Whatever. Anyhow, Knicks lose last night to the Spurs. One thing before we get to the Nets and Harden tonight, because it's interesting to me, him going back to Houston and the Nets playing the Rockets. You mentioned, we were just talking off the air about the look of the NBA this year, and I don't mean the players. You were talking about the way Popovich looks on the sideline and the way a lot of these coaches are dressing in this pandemic-type season. It's different. It's a different look for sure.
Now, I love that the coaches aren't wearing suits. I've always felt, maybe outside of Pat Riley, I've always felt coaches don't look right. I mean, come on, it's a sporting event. Why are you wearing a suit and a tie? Remember when Jason Kidd was the Nets head coach?
Yeah.
He didn't wear the tie.
Yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good. But I don't think these coaches should be wearing suits. So I like the way some of them look. However, Popovich, he looks like a slum.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. People were saying, I forget who it was.
Well, you were comparing him to Gio for some reason.
No, I wasn't. Someone called in and said, who wears the mullet better, Gio or Popovich?
Oh, okay.
And I said, I think Greg does.
Right.
Because Popovich is an older man. The hair is gray.
He looks
nuts. Maybe it was Evan or Craig. Someone said he looks like he should be. Oh, that's who it was. I forget. Some of them say it looks like he's in Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh.
Like he just
and we're
looks...
going down the band road again? Yeah. Where,
yeah. No. That's what the comment was.
I have heard of that.
And he looks like an old hippie, basically.
Yes, he does.
That's how he looks.
That was my issue. So I love that coaches, and I hope that when we get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, that the coaches continue to wear similar gear to what they're wearing now. I think they look more comfortable.
It makes me
more comfortable. Wow. You like the suit and
tie? I do. I like
why?
Even in football, I liked the look of a Dan Reeves on the sideline in a suit. I think he was the last one that did
because
it, too.
Because Landry used to do it, right?
Sure. And I like that look. Now, more so in basketball than football, to be quite
Mike
honest.
Mike Nolan, I remember doing it because I think he came from that same...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But in basketball, it's weird. Like, I've gotten very used to the look and, you know, with Rutgers every game. And I remember, like, the first game this season, I showed up. I had the shirt and the tie on and everything. And I looked down at the court. I'm like, wow, Coach Pikel has khakis and a collared shirt on, and the whole staff did. And then I forget what non-conference game it was. But their coach had, like, a sports jumpsuit on. Like, okay. And then I noticed the second game we were doing that. And then I finally asked someone. I'm like, well, yeah, it's pandemic year. There's no crowd, so it's kind of relaxed. I'm like, so I can just come to the game and wear jeans. Like, wow, okay, cool. So it's pretty neat. It's a different look for sure. I could get used to it. It's fine. But if you're asking me what I'd prefer, I would prefer the head coach in a suit.
See, that doesn't make any sense to me. The broadcasters, whatever, that's a different story. You're going there to broadcast. It's a different job than it is to be a coach of an athletic team, whatever it may be. But why would no fans in the building have anything to do with the coach's attire?
I'm not
the
sure.
Game's on TV.
Because it's every team around the country, if you notice.
Yeah, no, I notice. But that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why all of a sudden, just because the pandemic, what does that have to do with putting on a suit and tie?
I don't know. Because the games are on TV, so you're still being shown. I noticed it
in the bubble was, yeah. I think, the
that's
NBA
That's probably
bubble.
Where it started.
Right, and now all of a sudden it's, and I like it. I think it should be that way.
And the NBA and college took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
And you're right. It could be a change that does not change back. Very possible.
Now, you should look, that's why I was saying Papa,
oh, yeah.
You should look somewhat representable.
Well, like I said, I mean, like the Rutgers coaches look great. They wear the khakis and the collared shirt,
sure.
And they all wear the same, I guess it's probably the same shirt and same type of pants, so they look like they're uniform.
Which is fine.
And it looks good.
You can wear this, you know, Thibodeau has that zip-up kind of a fleece mix thing. Perfect. That's fine.
I don't know. To me, I always looked at that zip-up type of look had a scrimmage feel to it. Like, to me, the game, like, means something. Like, it's, I don't know, it's more important. You just dress the part.
But yeah, it's, I don't know.
Maybe it's a thing of the past.
I feel like a suit, you want to talk about button down or a collared shirt, khakis, whatever. You don't have to wear the jumpsuit stuff or gym wear. But the suit and tie, I've always felt I always thought that was weird watching these games.
Well, you
anyway.
Don't have to do it anymore. So tonight, which is interesting, so we'll have on the fan tonight, you've got the Nets and the Rockets. Nets 10 games over 500, of course, the acquisition of James Harden, blah, 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 blah. So Harden and the Nets are in Houston tonight. And I'm intrigued because the way it ended for him there was awful. We know that the players killed him when he left. He didn't want to be there at the end because he, quote-unquote, couldn't win there. He basically whined his way to Brooklyn, and it has worked out so far. Now, anything less, and we've talked about this a million times, to me, anything less than an NBA championship is a failure. And I say that because I thought this team was good enough to win already. So you add James Harden and give up as much as you did to get him. If you don't win an NBA championship with these three players, then to me it's been a failure. Him going back to Houston tonight, playing a Rockets team that I think will be motivated to play him, one. Two, I think it's 12 straight games they've lost, and they have gotten blown out many times. I could see a couple of scenarios here. A, Houston plays out of their mind, which is certainly possible. Or B, he goes for 50 points tonight.
Yeah, I would think the latter there. Houston is such a, I mean, they've been
terrible.
Yeah, so that's the problem. And look, with the way that, you know, Harden's going to be motivated. Now, will it be as easy as, hey, we all expect Harden to light it up going against his former team. He's going to have 50. I don't know. Maybe he's, you know, got 15 assists or something and lets Kyrie or the rest of the depth on that Nets team, let them do the work. But it's not like they're taking on a top Houston.
No, they're a bad
here.
Team.
Yeah, this is, I would expect, a squash game for the Nets to go out there and roll. And you're right, it's all about bigger picture. Look, Harden could not be more different than what I thought he would be.
It's amazing, isn't it?
When they made this trade, both as a player and as an individual, he's open with the media. He seems like he's having fun and a happy individual. He's comfortable in this spot, in his role, whatever his new role may be. He can score. He could obviously be a facilitator and dish if he needs to. He's doing a little bit of everything. But he's having fun, and I look to see a guy who's not only been a great player, but he's been, just a great presence with this Nets team as well. So I think he's moved on past the Houston stuff. Now, I'm sure going down there brings up the old feels, and there's going to be a part of him that wants to light it up. But sometimes, Jerry, you know, you put too much pressure on yourself and maybe have an off night scoring-wise. So who knows how it's going to play out. I think the Nets dominate the game, though.
Probably so. And I do want to be, Eddie made this point earlier, because him going back to Houston, how's he going to be received? He has done a lot of good things for the city of Houston after they had, you know, the freezing temperatures and all the issues in the city. So he has been pretty upfront with that. His restaurant has donated thousands of meals.
Fans are allowed in Houston? Or are they one of the teams?
25%.
Right.
So there should be, I think, the capacity. What'd you say? Is it 4,500 for tonight?
Yes, 4,500. Oh, right.
So that's the number that they can bring
in. I think
in.
They'll cheer him. I mean, I don't see any reason why they would.
See, that's interesting to me. I wouldn't. With the way he wanted out so badly and the way he dogged it to get out. See, it's not so much that he wanted to be traded. Like, if I'm a Rockets fan, and hell, if I'm a city of Houston fan right now, with what's happened with the mass exodus of big
players
from their teams, you know, you had a guy that was a great player that he didn't try. I mean, his last couple of weeks there, especially those last four or five games.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, not only not even, you want to say going through the motions, I mean, he wasn't even running.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I never said that I would cheer him. Number two, you're thinking Houston. Is that if it were an East Coast, Philly, New York, obviously, Boston, if that happened here, they'd likely get booed. I don't know if Houston is as vocal or as tough a fan base as we are on the East Coast. The other thing is, enough time has passed for me to feel
a month?
Yeah. It's not immediate. It's, I don't know, they've kind of moved on.
They've lost 12 straight games.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to boo them. I don't know. You start, the longer that it goes, and a month is, you know, a decent amount of time, the more you start thinking about, oh, well, we had great times.
Hopefully within a month your wife's talking to you again.
Yeah, right. Who knows with that? As time goes on by, 1 o'clock or so, by the time we get on. No, but I don't know. I don't have a pulse for the Houston sports fan, but I would think that they're a little more lenient than we would be.
They might be. I don't know. I mean, they've got to be. Could you imagine doing sports talk radio in Houston? You've got the way James Harden got himself out of the Rocket situation. J.J. Watt's gone. DeAndre Hopkins gone. Deshaun Watson wants out. I mean, it has been a rough year for them.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year, period, for them. But then just talking, you know, strictly about sports, what they went through with the whole cheating thing with the Astros.
Oh, they still won a World Series. I mean, the Rockets,
yes.
You know.
All I said was doing sports radio in Houston over the last year.
Right. That's yeah.
Very difficult, I would think.
Yeah. That's got to be difficult in general, right? Sports radio in Houston?
No, I mean, you got a great baseball team. You've had, you know, the Texans, while they didn't play well this year,
yeah.
They have been a good team. They've been a playoff team every year. You've had something to root for. You've had at least a January where you had playoff football. You know, it's not like...
Yeah, I guess. It's the Texans. Yeah, it's the Houston Texans.
Yeah, but it's their team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a new team. Oh, I'd rather have the Oilers back. Imagine that. I know it happened here years ago, but yeah, right. So... I know it happened here years ago, but imagine in the height of sports talk, having a team leave, and not that that happened at the height of sports talk, but you get the point. Having a team leave.
I don't.
Leave
what team are you talking about leaving at the height of sports talk here?
The Houston Oilers, I'm talking about.
Oh, that's in Houston. I thought you meant here.
No,
you just said it happened here.
No, imagine it. It happened here years ago with the Dodgers and the Giants leaving.
Oh, sure.
I'm talking about leaving. If the Mets or whatever were to leave, or the Giants were to leave the town now, imagine that being the case. We don't have to worry about that in New York. But Houston, in the relatively recent, I mean, it's not that long ago, the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee. And, you know, they get a new franchise. I don't know. It's just, that's a weird thing. Or Cleveland obviously had that happen, going to Baltimore and then
having
the
Browns
new team
again.
Back. Yeah, no, it's just a weird dynamic. But, yeah, I mean, whatever.
Remember there were the whispers, I think I remember this right, where the Jets looking into somewhere else?
On that, I remember the Islanders. Maybe the Islanders were going to go to Kansas City or something.
Yes,
that I remember.
I feel like there was something with the Jets potentially moving at some point.
Maybe, but that
which
would
never
be,
happened.
Oh my goodness! If that ever happened here now, forget it.
Which it's not going to.
Anyway, but it's enough with the players. Forget the team. I guess it's a passionate fan base, and who knows? I hate the Rockets because of the '93-'94 NBA Finals. I still can't get over that. You know, Sam Cassell and Robert Horry, Otis Thorpe,
of course,
Akeem obviously. Yeah. And I know Akeem was coming up yesterday. I saw because people were talking about Harden and the Rockets retiring his number. So then people were saying, well, he never won a championship, and then comparing him
Olajuwon's
to
Olajuwon's number is not retired?
No, I think it is, but I don't know why he came up in the – I'm assuming it is. It's got to be retired.
It has to be.
Right. So, but I think people were comparing Harden – getting that honor.
I got you. I misunderstood you.
To Olajuwon, who won the back-to-back titles with the Rockets.
Yeah, I see. I would. To me, the retired number is for the player that does just ridiculous things for your organization. Now, Patrick Ewing did not win an NBA title for the Knicks, but he was a Knick for his entire career, minus that nonsense at the end, which to me doesn't count.
The Sonics.
I mean, yeah, please.
I went to that game when he came back as a member of the Sonics. Just weird watching Patrick Ewing.
Very strange. Like, you know, it's not Montana and Kansas City. That's not fair. He was good there. What's that?
He went to Orlando too, right? I think he had maybe.
That I don't remember. I remember the Sonics for sure.
Yeah.
That I do remember. You know what a strange ending to his career was Shaq?
The way he was all over the place.
He was. He was in Cleveland shortly. He was in Boston for a brief time.
You know what I think of that immediately? When he went to Phoenix, which when Mike and the dog, Mike and Chris, had the Suns over, I believe, for the year. This was a huge deal.
I'm sure it was.
This was right before Dog left. They had the Suns over. Shaq got traded. I forget. I think Dog liked it and Mike hated it because it was going to ruin their getting their number.
So let me guess, in New York sports, that became a big theme.
No, but it led to some discourse.
Oh.
Yeah. It led
really?
To, yes. I'm pretty sure that was the beginning of like the final straw. With
ooh, little inside look here.
Yeah, that was,
I didn't know that.
I thought you did know that.
No, I did not.
Yeah, that 100%
Eddie, did you
that
know
is
that?
Accurate.
I did not.
Wow, am I breaking news here?
Well, apparently so.
Oops. No, I thought that was
out there. It's all right. Enough time's gone by, at least four years.
Yeah, I thought that was known. They had, you know, they would always do the over-unders. they had the Suns that year. I forget what exactly. I would guess, just because I remember their timeline, I would guess it was 2008, which I believe was Dogs. It was either 2008 or 2009, which I believe was Dogs last year. That summer when that Suns traded for Shaq.
Wow.
I think Mike was ticked off. Dog was happy. They couldn't agree on that, and that led to, you know, some issues maybe off the air a little bit.
This is the end.
Not that that made it happen, but, yeah.
Final
and
straw.
By the way, I think Mike was right about the Suns going in the tank after that one.
Well, their last shows, I think, was were August of 08, I think.
Right,
I
so
say.
That's what I'm saying. That this, so when did...
Sounds right, because I remember I was covering the Jets the day that everything went down. So that had to have been in September, I would think.
Man, I remember that whole thing. It was bizarre. Living
were you on
that.
The show at that time
yeah.
still?
Yeah, it was me and Erickson.
So you were running the board. Eddie was the producer at
correct.
That point.
I remember playing golf with Mike. Like a week before, and he was talking to us, telling us about all that was going to happen and what was going down.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. There was
the hell of a secret they kept, because I was floored by it.
And I even remember Dog, too, when I used to produce his Saturday morning show, where he would hint, I'm like, Dog, what's going on here? And I knew from Mike's side. Basically, you know, Mike would tell Eddie, and Eddie would tell me everything. So right. I knew. And then occasionally I would talk to Mike about it. And like I said, I was involved. We were going to play golf. So I had an idea of what was going on. But then Dog would say, listen, you know me. And I'm not going to do the impression because I don't want to, you know, try to do that. But you get the, and he was saying, what do I like? I like a challenge. I like a challenge. He was kind of hinting that he wanted the challenge. Of, and still, I didn't believe it. I'm sorry.
I don't listen to Sirius.
By the way, I think he's the greatest of all time at radio. I really do. Who? I know you don't want to get... Dog. I think
he's not going to get into that conversation.
I
okay.
think he's the best ever.
He's very
well,
good.
Sports talk, I
he's
should
very
say.
Good.
And obviously, I love Mike, too, and that show is the greatest. But my Dog's still going and entertaining at a high level. Anyway, I remember that. So he was kind of hinting, but didn't say anything. Mike knew what was going on.
We won't get into it, but I will just say as we go to break, one of the best stories you ever gave me about Mike and Chris was flying home from the Super Bowl with Mike, with Eddie Erickson, at the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah. Well, was it just me and Eddie, you mean?
Yes.
On the small plane? Yeah, that was...
Yes. You guys had a tough time.
Oh, yeah. No, there was... We've had multiple trips like that. That one was a rough one coming back.
And was it Eddie or Melusis who they were giving a hard time when he was driving across Florida?
Probably
that was
both.
Melusis, though, I think. That was the Melusis
I remember
one.
The one thing Mike used to get on Eddie for, he used to drive... This is great. So all these trips, Erickson, this is how nuts he was. Erickson used to, because he's bad with directions, and Mike used to let him know it, Eddie used to get up early in the morning and go do a dry run. So
you're kidding me.
Let's say, no, I'm not. Let's say Port St. Lucie, right? Eddie would get up that next morning, drive to the stadium or wherever he knew he had to be, and come back just so he knows he did it, because he didn't.
That's commitment.
Yeah, because he didn't want to deal with what we saw plenty of times where Mike would say, make a right, you're a Marine, you're a Marine. How do you not know where we're going? And Eddie used to hate it. And I used to sit there and love it. I was like,
reveling in his misery.
Oh, it was great.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall doing the rounds, the interview rounds, which has been really cool, actually, to watch and listen to as you've got Coming to America 2 coming out on Friday. That having been said...
What about that vodka dog thing you teased yesterday?
I can do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you left us hanging.
Because we never got to it.
Yeah, all right. Well, we got to make sure you get to that today.
And wasn't there some other retirement or vacation thing you wanted to ask me?
There was.
Yeah.
Got to take some notes over there, Jer.
A retirement vacation thing?
Jer, I'm worried about you.
Yeah, a place where I would go or wouldn't go.
Oh, yeah. See, you left Scoes hanging, too. I mean, you left. We're all like,
I was getting all ready, but I'm big moment.
Jerry, you're turning into Craig right before our eyes, throwing these teases out there and never coming back to him.
And never paying them off. I mean, come on. What good's a tease if you can't pay it off? You did say something about Scoes.
I feel like I'm under attack, so let's go here. So you don't know your wife's license plate number. You have her car. Have you called her to find out her license plate number?
There has been communication. I think all is well. Thankful to the police officers who helped us out. I wish I knew them by name. I wish I knew their address. I got to go hug them. But yes, all is okay. Wife is home
except
safe.
That you don't know your license plate number, so your wife is on that for you.
We're on it, yes. More duties for
and
my
wife.
And
she's called an attorney for more than one reason.
Yeah, exactly. Next, I'm going to ask her if she could inform me what happened with the Knicks game last night. And then maybe I can...
All right, with that, I'll try and remember what we were talking about tease-wise. Chris Lopresti at 7:30, go.
All right, speaking of the Knicks, second half to forget last night in San Antonio.
Patty Mills knocks down the three, and the lead is 50. Tom Thibodeau is furious.
Three ball bedeviling the Knicks now. Mills has been the catalyst. So previously Mills a fortuitous bounce with a three ball. This time the swish.
Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier on MSG. 68 points for the Spurs after halftime. They went on to spank the Knicks 119-93, snapping New York's three-game winning streak. It sends them back to 500. Second half of a back-to-back for the Spurs, and they've still got guys out due to COVID issues and injuries. Trey Lyles, 18 points, the ninth player already to lead the Spurs in scoring in a game this season that has tied for tops in the NBA. The Knicks, meantime, had 16 turnovers, failed to score 100 points for the first time in six games in suffering their most lopsided loss of the season. There weren't a lot of great sound bites post-game. You can kind of understand why. Plus, the Knicks don't have the best Zoom call audio quality. In fact, I could barely understand this Julius Randle answer, at least part of it. So I want to see if you guys can help me out and fare any better. So listen closely.
What was the question?
I think it was about just his off night and the off night in general for the team.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
It's nothing. I got to my spots, missed shots. That was really good. Cam got a hand, like all four, so I'm not really worried about that. But we didn't have it today.
So I feel like I got to
my spots, just missed shots.
And then the middle is where I
played all four.
I played all four?
Meaning that, quarters?
Yeah,
I
mean, it's one more time. Let me see.
No, it's nothing they did.
Nothing they did.
Got to my spots, missed shots.
That was really good. That was really
good. Like all four, so I'm not really worried about that. But we didn't have it today.
Not really worried about that. Didn't really have it today. It's that middle part. Eddie might be on to that, maybe.
Yeah, I thought he sat out most of the fourth quarter, though.
All right. Well.
Yeah. Well.
Good try.
That's what we've got from Jerry. Julius Randle
last night. I got nothing. I don't know what he said there.
I guess it doesn't matter. Like you guys said, you just move on. Derrick Rose did miss the game for health and safety protocols. Emmanuel quickly led the Knicks with 26 off the bench. They've got one more before the All-Star break. That'll be home against the Pistons tomorrow night. We will see about Rose's status for that one. Thibodeau after the game was unsure as he was pretty much a late scratch for last night's game to begin with. Meantime, James Harden and the Nets will be in Houston to face the Rockets this evening. Here's Harden on his return.
I basically had, you know, an unbelievable career there and showed me mad love and respect, and I'm just excited to be playing in front of those fans. Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta.
You weren't 3 weeks ago.
Right, exactly. He did tell the Houston Chronicle they will retire Harden's number 13 at some point, and his former team right now in the midst of this ugly 12-game skid. Devin Booker teed up twice in a couple of seconds, ejected, but his Suns still beat the Lakers at Staples Center 114-104. Lakers have dropped 6 of 9 now. Obviously, Anthony Davis out. They've got a couple other guys out as well. No LeBron tonight against the Kings. He scored 38 in the loss against Phoenix last night, so now he will get his first game of rest leading into the All-Star break for LA. You also had the Nuggets over the Bucks, 128-97. Another triple-double for Nikola Jokic, the 50th of his career. He and Wilt Chamberlain, the only centers in NBA history to do that. Would be impressive if they were senators as well. Celtics beat the Clippers 117, exactly. 117-112. Hawks bounce the Heat 94-80. A win for Nate McMillan, making his debut as Atlanta's interim head coach. I did mention last hour the report from The Athletic that a bunch of the Hawks top players were in favor of the firing of Lori Pierce, going with a new voice. Here was Trae Young after last night's game.
I mean, obviously, it's a tough situation. I mean, but for me, my main focus and is on this team and help how I can help this team move forward.
So not exactly a lot of Lloyd Pierce mentions there. And the report said he was perceived as unapproachable and unwilling to be accountable for his own mistakes. And I guess a couple of the players get together, push him out, and now they move forward with Nate McMillan.
What do you think the lifeline, the lifespan of a head coach in the NBA is now?
On average?
More or less than 18 months. On average, yeah. Because I know some of them, like Greg Popovich, is going to certainly sway the balance in one way. But for the most part, these guys are in and out so quickly.
Maybe more. Like, what's
like how many head coaches have the Knicks had since, let's say, 2010?
Oh my goodness,
too many.
No. How many do you think?
They've swayed the balance the other way with the way that they hire guys.
Which is why I think it will balance itself out. Why I think it's probably less than 2 years.
Lloyd Pierce got 2.5 seasons.
Right, he got 2.5 years?
2.5 years.
I would say 4 then on
the
average.
Knicks since 2010.
Since 2010.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
I don't think it's 30 since 2010. I'm going to check. I have
count
it here.
7 if you don't include Mike Miller, which was he was interim.
Well, I mean, yeah, I won't count it. No,
so
I'm not going to count interim.
Woodson, Fisher, Rambis, Hornacek, Fizdale, Thibodeau.
Rambis, Hornacek, Fizdale.
One Mississippi,
Fisher.
Two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi.
D'Antoni, he started in 08, so he was, if you take it from 2010,
but he was there in 2010.
He was existing, yes.
Yep, absolutely.
So seven.
That's a lot of head coaches.
That is.
Wow.
It's a problem.
That's a lot.
That's very good, Sal. Four states. That's a lot. That's a real deep track.
Poor Herb Williams.
Herb Williams! I used to love
You love
Herb
the
Williams.
Guy. He's the interim coach a few times. Never got a chance, though. Larry Brown, what a mess that
they
was.
They could use Herb right now. They need another backup big man.
All right, forget 2010. How about take it since post Van Gundy? I mean, good
man.
Lord.
That's when I checked out.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100.
Change.
I love that last part. They've had 11 head coaches in 20 years, right?
10, 11, 12, 13. Well,
if you don't count,
the interim ones,
well,
but no, if you because those are head coaches on the sideline. If you count those,
13?
They have had 14.
So wait, who was
20,
after Van
in 20 years?
It was Chaney and then Larry Brown.
Yeah, Chaney, Herb Williams as an interim head coach.
For a game.
Lenny Wilkins.
Oh, Lenny
Herb Williams had one
him.
Game in that first. I guess the last game of the year.
Herb Williams.
And then they went back to him after they canned Lenny Wilkins.
Right, and then Larry Brown for one season, Isaiah Thomas for two.
Oh.
Mike D'Antoni had 4 or 5 seasons. You got Mike Woodson, Derek Fisher, Rambis, Hornacek. You got Fizdale, Mike Miller for a handful of games and then Thibs.
Imagine if they just – they were actually ahead of the curve with the Mike D'Antoni hire. Now, we hated it in New York because he didn't play any defense.
Well, the way he plays offense.
Yeah, but the game – I mean, right
after – it's a Mike D'Antoni game now.
We're right after that. The game changed. The Knicks were ahead of the curve. It was a great hire. If they would have just stuck with Walsh and D'Antoni, whatever. Anyway, they're at a decent spot now, so.
Well, a little more than that. I mean, D'Antoni – 12 was his last year. This game has not been like this for the last 9 years. This is really the last three, 4 years where the game's gotten stupid.
No, but the game was evolving at that time. It was starting to
go
this
direction.
You're
sitting there saying, hold on to Mike D'Antoni. It was 9 years ago.
Well, they were ahead of the curve. They would have been the team that was out
in
front.
I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been more open. Now, each year it's evolving to where it's there's just
it's
no
like a
Globetrotter
game now.
Agreed. It's even more open than Mike D'Antoni's offense.
And by the way, why are the Knicks succeeding?
Well, let me ask you,
because they don't play like that.
Right.
When did D'Antoni – wait, so he was with the Suns before that? Before he came to the Knicks?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And then where did he go afterward, anything. Though? Lakers and the Rockets.
Houston.
He went to Houston right after
the
Knicks?
No, he went to the Lakers and then he went to the Rockets.
Yeah.
And he was brutal with the Lakers. They lost in the first round his first year, and then they went 27-55, missed the playoffs. I forget if he got fired or they parted ways, and then he went to Houston, where he was in the playoffs every year, but they never got to the NBA Finals.
Right.
So, you know.
Oh, I mean, and the Knicks were in the playoffs exactly how many?
I understand, but the point is like, but were they going to win a championship with him? Has he ever?
Maybe. I mean, if you get in the playoffs, you have a better chance of winning the championship.
I'll
tell you this: Mike D'Antoni is better than any of those 10 names that you just listed.
Agreed,
they've had the last several years,
but it's not going to get them to the pinnacle. Yeah. And the Knicks didn't have a roster
like
anywhere
Woodson.
Close to what he had with the Lakers and the Rockets.
I'm happy with Thibodeau and some defense.
Yes, right.
So
we've moved on.
Best of both worlds.
37 coaches later.
37.
Close enough. You're rounding. Yeah. Mets shut out the Astros in Port St. Lucie 2-0. Marcus Stroman, the couple of perfect innings, the two strikeouts. He's dancing off the mound. He's got great stuff. The split change, and I can ramp it up to 95 when I want. So ready for him to dominate this year. James McCann did technically throw out a would-be base dealer. The guy did overslide the bag, like Jerry pointed out last hour, but McCann says he'll take it.
It's kind of like spring training checklist. You got to get one marked off in almost every category, so getting the first one out of the way is nice.
Kind of like the free space for him, and now he moves on with his spring training. Here's Brandon Nimmo. Much to Sal's chagrin, Luis Rojas did name him the team's primary leadoff hitter.
I do really appreciate that, because we do, like you said, we have a ton of options. So I think that can be flexible throughout the season, but it does give me a lot of confidence that, you know, I really appreciate that from Louis.
And he says,
Why is he batting leadoff? Why? There are at least four guys that you'd rather have in that spot than him. And I'm just throwing out that number. But
why don't you jump on the conference call with Luis Rojas?
Well, because what am I going to say? Exactly that. Why? Louis, why?
That's exactly what you
asked. I don't want to be confrontational.
Why? It doesn't have to be. Why have you decided that Brandon Nimmo is the leadoff hitter so early in the spring?
I know they're going to say, he gets on base, he's walks.
It's relatively important.
But these are the same people, the analytics, right? We grew up knowing what a lineup should be. You have a leadoff hitter.
A little different these days, yes.
Right, so it's different. Now they're saying, your best hitter should hit second. Or the idea of we want our best hitters getting more bats. So what happens when the lineup turns over? And let's say the Mets, who now have a longer, deeper lineup, or let's say they're better, the seven or eight guys get on. And then, two outs, runners at second and third, the lineup turns over, here's Brandon Nimmo. You're not looking for a walk there, and that's what he does. You want a guy to hit, so why are you having a guy who walks in that spot?
Your best hitter's coming up next.
No, but I'd rather have McNeil, Lindor, 1-2. It doesn't make any sense. You want those guys to get more at-bats.
Well, but the idea that he walks and gets on base for your quote unquote best hitter next does make sense.
I want a guy who's going to hit.
Yeah, but if he gets on base for your best hitter.
It's not like he's getting on base every time. But
no kidding.
I'd rather have a hitter. So that's the thing. Wouldn't you want your best hitters up more often?
I want the guy to lead off. The guy's going to get on base most times. That's
Jerry
what I
has
want.
The old school mentality.
I do.
Sal
exactly
has the new
what we were just talking
mentality.
About. You have the old school lineup. I want the guy that's going to be on base the most to be my leadoff hitter.
So what happens if Brandon Nimmo, let's just say he gets out in that spot and you leave McNeil standing on the on-deck circle?
And what happens if you got bases loaded, two out, Aaron Judge comes up and strikes out? It's baseball. It's going to happen.
I get that, but in a big spot, I'd rather take my chance with the better hitter.
All right, in a big spot, I'd rather Derek Jeter up than A-Rod. But it happens.
Right, but you would have Derek Jeter batting leadoff in his spot. You get the point. CeeLo, I mean, am I losing it here?
No.
The Mets have a deep lineup. Brandon Nimmo is going to be batting in front of all those guys?
It's different schools of thought. This is the new school mentality of you get over the course of the season, whatever, 50 to 60 more at-bats for your best hitter if you hit them at the top. Jerry's thinking more traditionally, hey, he's going to set the table, get on base. He's going to hustle. Maybe he steals a base. Maybe he lays a bunt down and gets on base. So that's the old school
really
mentality.
It should be George Springer batting leadoff, but we don't want to revisit that again.
By the way, Sal, you think the flat tire thing, just wait till you get a toddler or a preschooler. Just got this text from my wife. Yeah, my oldest son, Jace, will be 5 in April. Jace just set the alarm off. You might get a call.
Those things happen.
So that's when you have the 5-year-old running around and setting off the house alarm at 7:42.
Another reason why Al never had kids.
There you go. Right. Exactly. Whimsy would never do something like that. She knows better.
She would not.
Yankees beat the Orioles in Jupiter 4-2. Clint Frazier, Luke Voit drove in runs. Mike Ford at the 2-run double. Jordan Montgomery got the start. Couple of innings, 1 run, pair of strikeouts. Here's Aaron Boone on Frazier. We know he's going to be the regular left fielder now. Maturity, obviously a big part of it, but his improved defense also a factor. He was actually named a Gold Glove finalist for the shortened 2020 season.
Clint was very proud of that. So he let us know that he was a finalist and in his way. But it's a tribute to his work.
I'd love to know what that was, like how Frazier went about kind of dangling that in their face. But he's got a little bit of that that moxie and that chip on the shoulder, which you'd like to see.
Love it.
Yanks will host the Blue Jays this evening in Tampa. That is a 6:35 start at George M. Steinbrenner Field down there in Tampa. More fallout from this second Mickey Callaway story, courtesy of The Athletic. We gave you some of the details late in yesterday's show. But really, I think the development from yesterday, Terry Francona's son coming out against him, basically, and put this statement out there in which he openly criticized his father and team management. And he says Terry lied to him initially and then, quote, "I confronted my father again this morning, and it is clear that he simply doesn't get it." There was more to that, but Terry spoke with the media yesterday without saying a whole lot on any of the details.
Right now is just not the right time to respond to some of the questions I'm sure you have. I do hope at some point we're able to, because I think we need to, and just know that we take this very, very seriously.
And then as far as his son's statement goes,
I love all my children unconditionally, and as you can imagine, that's a very difficult thing to see. So to deal with it publicly is hurtful.
And the son did reference in the statement that they don't have the best relationship right now based on, I guess, some past actions of Terry. So I don't know, man. There's a lot going on here.
Bad situation.
That's rough. His son's been very vocal about a lot of things.
Has he really?
Oh, yeah. I forget in particular, but I don't know if he's a former military member, his son, but there was a lot of stuff where he's always criticizing Major League Baseball or whether it's the Cleveland organization or the Mets organization. He's been very vocal and outspoken about things, which I'm sure rubs people the wrong way inside the game. And in this case, he was, if you read some of that stuff, saying basically that my father was covering these things up, or not even covering it up, not understanding
what was wrong and right behavior.
Which is kind of what we alluded to yesterday. I really think that a lot of these guys don't even think they're doing anything really wrong. I mean, obviously cheating on your wife is bad enough, but he's thinking that that's all it is, not necessarily harassing or abusing power.
When this happened, he came out and said he wasn't cheating on his wife, correct?
Who's he, Callaway?
Yeah.
I'm not even, I don't even know. I don't remember if this.
Because I thought he denied the wrongdoing.
Well, now he's admitted to it, though, right?
That's not my question. My question was, when it first happened, didn't he have released the statement?
When the Athletic's first story came out?
Yeah.
I'm honestly not sure the
I'll go back and check. I think his initial statement was, I'd like to address this, but he didn't, I think it was more of a vague general statement, if I recall, but I can go back
and check
it
during
the
break. That's fine.
By the way, Sal, you are right. Nick Francona was a lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps.
Right. So
he was also drafted by the Red Sox, so he has a background in baseball as
well.
There
was some issue, and I'm not sure if it was, maybe it had to do with the anthem or something. I'm not sure. There were other issues, though, that he's been very outspoken and vocal about that caused some
a little bit of a rift.
Correct.
All right, Chris, just this hockey scores real quick.
Rangers beat the Sabres at the Garden 3-2. Islanders over the Devils at Prudential Center 2-1.
All right, Chris, thanks very much. Coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio, 745. Fans, CBS Sports Network on the other side. Your call is 877-337-6666. And I did remember what I wanted to ask Eddie about vacationing. And also, Eddie and Al, something on Easy Pass and anything you want.
And we're getting to it. You're going to pay it off today. And the vodka dog stuff, right?
Perhaps, okay. Yes. That's okay. The idea. If not, we'll do it tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So you're aware, I know, Al, you've been home and you have not been commuting yet, but you will be, what, April 7th? Is that the plan? Something like that? April
8th? That's the word, Jerry. Who knows? I mean, I hope we can stick to it, but who knows the way this virus is.
Can we get a camera crew following Al around that first time back, walking through the streets?
Yeah, his name is Tom
city.
Izzo.
Yeah, is he going to be able to do that?
I told Izzo I wanted to do that. I wanted it to look like when the NBA players come walking into the arena. I'm going to have my Beats headphones on. I'm going to be well-dressed.
Coming home.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, that's it for the callers. You had your fun for a year. The mean guy is back screening the calls.
Wait till you see what it looks like around here with the construction. Now, you're going to be blown away by what Charlton looks like and all these new buildings, but whatever. So, you know, and you'll find out, because I think you're going to have to go. I cannot wait for him to start driving through Brooklyn and Staten Island by himself. It's tremendous. So the Verrazano Bridge now, since you've been out, we now have to pay the toll going into New York leaving Staten Island, whereas it used to be just one toll coming into Staten Island as opposed to going into Brooklyn. Now they split the tolling, and it's $9.50 each way instead of $18 one way. There's a overnight differential. It's supposed to be $6.12 each way. For the last 4 months, I have been charged $9.50 every day. With no, and Eddie, you checked. You're paying the overnight differential, correct?
Correct.
They owe me like $1,000.
Good luck getting that rectified.
I've emailed three different times. I get no response. I mean, I guess I call them and be put on hold for 3 hours?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
But you think I get any of the money back or a credit? Because everything is time stamped.
Yeah, it's not out of the question. I think it's possible.
That should be computer generated. You go through at a certain time.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting anything back.
Clearly.
Yeah. Because I also checked to see if there was some sort of a plan that maybe I was part of that you are not. And there's no plan. There's a plan for the outer, but
which
not
I have.
For the VZ.
Very frustrating.
And you have the Jersey Easy Pass. You know,
yeah.
I learned that the hard way. I think
what do you mean?
When I was living in New York, I just, I don't know, I Googled Easy Pass and bought one. It was the Jersey Easy Pass. So
what's the difference?
I think it's more expensive for New York tolls all those years. I was driving.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure I got hammered with that, but I just didn't know the difference. Now, why wouldn't you be commuting with Al once Al comes back? Didn't you guys always used to commute?
Yeah, this came up the other day. Why did this come up the other day?
Boomer was just excited to have me have to commute again. So I think it just came up that way. But I've moved in the time period since Jerry and I last
commuted. Oh,
okay. He's down the shore now. He's probably, what are you, about a half hour from me, would you say?
Yes.
It's too much for him to pull off the highway and stop. Yeah, and
we were discussing park and rides for them to meet at.
Oh, that's why you were talking about park and rides.
Uh-huh. Locked into the park and ride.
Well, there is one good one off exit 120. The problem is there's very little lighting, and you'd be sitting in a dark car waiting for me. That's not up your alley.
Well, we used to do that in Jersey City many years ago.
But there was a security guard that was driving around all the time. Remember that?
Yeah, in the Jeep? I suppose, yeah.
I mean, not that he's going to do anything, probably, but at least there's someone there if you got to scream for somebody.
Right.
What's the difference? You're coming into New York City at that hour? I mean, it can't be more dangerous than that.
Sure,
right?
No, exactly. And the problem with even doing that now is the Holland Tunnel's closed every night. Oh. You think about the obstacles we have had since this building has opened. Like, you find a good parking spot, and then a year later, that street is closed off for construction. You find a good way to go into the city, we're going to close the Holland Tunnel for 3 years. You find a freeway in and out, we're going to shut down what is it called?
Pulaski,
what's the bridge?
Skyway.
For how many years? 3 years?
Four.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And now you find parking out front. Now it's recently reopened. But what, 2 years, 18 months, out front was closed.
And it's still not as good as it was. I mean, even for me, who came on a limited basis, it used to be so easy.
Well, because I don't think you can park on the other side of the street anymore, correct?
Right, that's right.
Right, but there were both sides. You could roll up right in front of the building, pick a side, whichever day of the week.
And then city bikes, and then with the pandemic, you know, restaurants eating in the street.
Yeah, hard to come by.
And that's the other thing. The city bikes have taken over the spot by the deli down the block that me and you used to park at, Al.
Yeah, the Charlton. No, the Spring spot.
Spring Street.
But there's still two.
And what is memorable about that was I was inside buying a Cliff Bar the morning everything happened with Craig. Came out, you were on the phone. And I'm thinking, who the hell is he talking to at 4 o'clock in the morning? And that's when things went kapooey. So, yes.
Kapooey. Yeah. Cliff Bar at 4 a.m.
Yes.
Huh? By the way, what's it like around here? Because I'll tell you, when I go to, and I've been limited again in my commute, even to SNY, I'll maybe go once a week. It is so sad and depressing to just have the lack of atmosphere.
There's no one around.
Yeah. So is it like that too around here during normal hours? I mean, at this point, I see actually a lot of cars. All the parking spots are
filled
up.
There's people. It's not the same though. I mean, you walk out of here at 10, 11, 12 o'clock, whatever it is, there's people around, but the way it used to be,
right, where you could, I mean, people were outside getting food and walking
and
around.
And in March, April, May, until the protest started, it was like a very eerie ghost town.
Right.
And then after the protest, the warm weather, it got a little loosening of the restrictions. It was sort of like it is now, and then it sort of got quiet again, and now it's, but it's nothing like it was. And we weren't like Midtown congested, but still.
Yeah.
There was always people.
That's what I feel like. And SNY is a little further downtown, but it used to be just there were people everywhere. There was, and now nothing. Desolate.
Now, there are days Al and I used to leave here at 11:45 or whatever. And even at 11:45, not that it would happen often, but there would be a lot of cars heading to the Holland Tunnel. Now it's like a free run. Nobody.
It's just so weird. As somebody who used to live in the city, I enjoyed my time. I know we talk about it all the time. Like, look, the city could be a problem. Commuting, parking, all that. It's a problem. But I enjoyed my time living in the city. And there was, even if you just work here, there's a buzz about it. There's a different feel. It is heartbreaking to see what's gone on with this city here in the last year. And it's, still nowhere getting back to where it was.
Not even close. And now I saw, and we talked about this in the warm-up show, Texas and Mississippi.
Yeah.
They've gone, I guess starting March 10th is what Al said, is going to be completely wide open and the mask mandate's gone. I know Popovich wasn't happy about that. At least for me, I think it'd be very interesting to see what happens there in the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks.
As far as numbers go, it's refreshing to hear that, right? Like if the news in New York, if somebody came out and said, that's it, next week, we've had enough, we're opening everything, max capacity, whatever. It's great to hear that. It makes you feel like, all right, maybe the restraints have been lifted, but obviously, that's clearly not the smartest move to be making.
That's what I say. We'll find out in a few weeks. Because if nothing happens there, I think you start feeling better about things, no?
I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole discussion of it. But how would you – I mean, it's still out there.
Yes.
So how would all of a sudden nothing happen?
I don't know. That's why I'm curious. And I'm wondering, why you do that now – unless because the warm weather, I don't know.
And they were saying, I think it was during the Knick game last night where Breen was talking about it. I forget, or maybe it was just listening to you guys. No, maybe it was Breen saying how in Houston, they're going to do that. But at the games, they are still going to be restricted. Like, even though that there's going to be...
Well, and that's where, Al, you were asking me, right, in the warm-up show about if it's the state or the league
yes.
that makes the decision. That could be because it's in, you know,
the league,
a league
is gonna
arena.
Make, the league is going to make the decision. Just because there's no masks
yeah.
or necessary doesn't mean that you could go to the game and be free range.
I guess. I don't know. It's the whole thing is interesting.
It doesn't right. It's not in sync with the league rules. It is. It's just bizarre. The whole situation is bizarre. But anyway, yeah, the city is depressing.
Not great. Donnie and Mattawan, help me out. What do you got, Donnie?
All right, here's the deal. I live near where you live. My father lives in Brooklyn. When I drive to Brooklyn, I use a New York Easy Pass. I get the discount on the Verrazano Bridge. If you make three trips over the Outer Bridge in a month, you pay the discounted rate, you know, on that one also. So, but I assume that when you come home, then you're driving back through Jersey, right?
Yeah, but Eddie, you have the New Jersey Easy
but
Pass.
He makes a great point, and Sal mentioned this. If you get, depending on which state, when Easy Pass was first invented,
yeah,
New Jersey was not the first to have it. New York had it. I was still living on Staten Island before I got married. I got
so you have a New York Easy Pass.
I got the New York
See?
Easy Pass, and I've always had it. Now I don't have yeah. the Staten Island resident where you pay nothing almost to cross
right, but
the VZ.
Right. That means you're getting beat though on the New Jersey side, though. Scores.
No.
You're not.
I don't care for this.
Well, because maybe the time I'm usually going, but I don't get a problem.
But
with
you're
that.
Not using New Jersey bridges
well,
or tunnels.
Well, actually, no, I'm using the Outer Bridge. But there's a deal the Jersey residents
yeah, that
can get that what he was just referencing: three trips a month on the Outer, you get the discount and off peak.
When I thought back to all the commuting that I did over the Throgs Neck or the Whitestone Bridge with the or the Midtown Tunnel with the stupid Jersey Easy, I cost myself thousands
Probably.
Of dollars
sure,
for
sure.
nothing. Thousands of dollars in tolls. Until I finally realized, hey, what am I doing? I'm in New York. This is a New Jersey Easy Pass. Why am I looked at it. Why am I paying whatever, $850 as opposed to $650?
So there you go, Jerry. You got to.
That's not a great answer.
Well,
that
but
sucks.
That makes
You're
sense
screwed.
Now.
You have New Jersey Easy Pass, Al, right?
Yes, New Jersey.
But I like according to him, you can get a New York one.
Right, but then you got to rotate.
Out. No,
whatever.
No.
All right, 802. That's annoying. Okay.
Good times.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.